Rounding out hour one of today's show. A reminder, coming up in hour two, we will be talking about the state of broadband in Utah. Utah Broadband Project's Kelly Cole joining us to talk about broadband saturation in Utah, how we compare to other states, speeds in Utah, how they compare to other states, and broadband's growing role in Utah's economy. So that's coming up at the top of next hour. Right now, joined by Utah Health Policy Project's... Nearly lost my microphone. Utah Health Policy Project's Riley Curtis joining us on the line. Riley, I've been told that you are the expert on this, and we wanted, in light of some community meetings that will be happening throughout the state over the next few weeks regarding Governor Herbert's Healthy Utah Plan, community meetings planned throughout the entire state, one in Cache Valley early next week happening. This is business leaders, healthcare professionals, elected officials, city and county people, anyone along those lines invited to attend these meetings to learn more about the Healthy Utah Plan. We thought our listeners should get a taste of it as well. So, Riley, appreciate you taking some time to join us for this.
Hey, absolutely, Jason. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, Riley, now, you know, here in the snarky studio of KVNU's For the People, I refer to Governor Herbert's Healthy Utah Plan as the expansion in the Obamacare law that we call something else because... politics. But if you can, tell listeners, what is the Healthy Utah Plan, and how likely is it to become a thing?
Yeah, so I guess real quickly, the main difference between Medicaid expansion and the governor's Healthy Utah Plan is instead of putting all of the eligible population, the expansion population, onto Medicaid rolls, this would, in fact, put them into the private health insurance marketplace. So instead of trying to find doctors to accept Medicaid cards, these patients would essentially have Blue Cross Blue Shield or IHC, Select Health, Arches, whichever plans decide to, if we get this passed, decide to offer insurance on the marketplace that these people would be going to for help. And so we would draw down those federal dollars that we're already paying in taxes to pay for this program. We would draw down those federal dollars, but instead of expanding Medicaid, those dollars would be used to subsidize private health insurance for the people, the Utahns who don't have access to health care right now.
Now, this is something that Governor Herbert and lawmakers are hoping to get a waiver on from the federal government. And we've talked before on the show about how that is up in the air, but looks promising. Governor Herbert himself has said that all conversations with Health and Human Services at the federal level have gone very well. So it seems right now that everything hinges on the legislature. So where do we sit?
I think it's important to note that Governor Herbert is fighting essentially two battles right now. He is going to D.C. next week to make one last push for the work requirement, and that really is the only hang-up in the governor's Healthy Utah Plan from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services perspective. So the people who are going to do the waiver application for, they have to approve it. So he is fighting that battle next week, and then back here on the home front, he does have to get this passed in the Utah legislative body. And that's really why you're seeing him push for this work requirement, because he feels like that is a conservative win that can get Utah legislators on board.
Sure. And obviously, even though I poke fun, politics always plays a part in these types of things. It's not specific to Utah or our lawmakers, and it does have to pass the legislature, where there has been very vocal, at least, opposition. But it seems like this conversation has been happening now for two, maybe 3 years. And are you getting the sense that lawmakers are ready?
I feel that lawmakers are... understanding more and more about this gap. I mean, it's a very complicated issue. Medicaid itself, understanding which categories people have to fall into to even qualify for Medicaid. And then on top of it, you've got the expansion population, and then that's split in half between people who are in the gap who have no access, or people who are in the expansion population but actually do qualify for help on healthcare.gov, and that is because of the way the ACA was written. gotten. So there's so many complicated avenues that you have to kind of explain. And I think that Utah legislators are understanding more and more who falls into the coverage gap and why this is so important, and not to mention understanding the dollars that we're losing by not expanding the program.
Sure. And that complexity around the gap, even for those of us observing from the outside, we have seen lawmakers talking in a much more informed way about who's in that gap. But for the benefit of us here in radio and our listeners out there in radio listener land, who is in that gap? The gap defined, correct me if I'm maligning this, but the gap is defined by those who fall into an area that is sort of in between the bottom line for subsidies in the Affordable Care Act in Obamacare, and those, but they're above, you know, extreme poverty subsidies, so they fall into this area where they're kind of just left hanging. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Yep. So there's two main groups in the Medicaid coverage gap or the donut hole. You'll hear it called both things. Those are parents with children. In Utah, you have to make in between about 50% of the poverty level and 100% of the poverty level. So that is about, to put it into perspective, if you make as a parent $0 to $9,000, and this is for a family of three, you qualify for Medicaid. But if you make in between $9,000 and $19,000, you're in the gap. And so and these are parents with children, and they're working parents. I mean, they're bringing in an income. And then the other gap that we're talking about is adults without children. And so these are people who make from $0 to $11,500. Anywhere in that spectrum, they fall into the coverage gap. If you make above that $11,000 threshold, you qualify for subsidies on healthcare.gov.
Okay, that makes sense, and it's probably the clearest I've ever heard that explained, so thank you. For listeners, again, our guest, Riley Curtis of Utah Health Policy Project, good friends of the show and always game to come on, talk to us about healthcare policy, specifically here in Utah, all the changes over the years, a lot of people still very confused about it. Riley, if you can tell us, how do things look overall in Utah? Are we headed in a good direction, or is this just the first hurdle of many that we're going to see at the legislative level?
You know, I hope that the hurdles are over. We have gone through, you know, a roller coaster ride these last 2 years just with multiple plans, multiple studies, and I think that we're finally, you know, coming to an end here. I really feel that, you know, with the governor on board, he's come up with a plan that is really, you know, a Utah solution, and I'm hoping that we can get through this these last couple hurdles, and hopefully there won't be many more in the future.
Sure. It is, you know, again, politics, and I really am not blaming the legislature for this. Politics always a part of this. But coming at this health care policy issue from the left, I was concerned when I read through the first hints of the Healthy Utah plan when the governor put it out. I thought, well, this isn't bad. And I thought, oh, it'll never pass here in Utah. But then we saw Senator Brian Chiazawa, a very conservative senator in the Utah State Senate. He had a bill that was very similar. It didn't go anywhere, but it was kind of a step in the same direction of the Healthy Utah plan. Where did the governor come up with this plan, and who was behind it?
Yeah, so, you know, he had really been studying this issue for the last year and a half. He was not a governor who, like Texas governor or Florida governor, came out and said, no, absolutely not on this issue. He really wanted to study it. So he has been following this issue for a long time, gave it a lot of thought, saw what Arkansas did with their private expansion using the private health insurance plans in other states, Iowa. And, you know, he just really tried to use what they had gotten CMS to approve and bring it home to Utah. And then, like I said, he's trying to fight for some additional provisions as well that other states have not gotten yet.
Sure.
And I also wanted to say Representative Craig Powell, he actually came out with an op-ed in the Park City Record last week calling for a special session to consider the governor's Healthy Utah plan.
Sure. And this, now that is an option for them. That relates to a question we just got from a listener here via text. And again, if you have questions, feel free, 7-932-0387 to text your questions in. A question from a listener here saying, if this Healthy Utah plan goes through, what is the soonest we are looking at that people in Utah can actually take advantage of this expanded health care access?
That's a great question. So it all kind of depends on whether there's a special legislative session or if we have to go take this issue into the 2015 general session. But say we do get it passed in a special session, let's go that route first, then there actually is an option for a bridge plan where those who are in the gap with absolutely no insurance coverage options, they would be put on Medicaid until we can get the Healthy Utah plan up and rolling. And so we're looking, you know, early 2015. But if there's, if we do figure this out in a general legislative session, the bill probably wouldn't be signed until March. But we could do the bridge plan at that point as well, but then it's just delayed by a few months. So we're hoping if we can get this figured out, that these people would begin to get coverage by at least middle of next year.
And we
at
do
the latest.
We do see here in Utah some interesting numbers from the public. We see a poll conducted quite a while ago by Dan Jones, so things may have changed, but over 80% of Utah voters in support of expanding health care in some way in Utah. 70% really like Herbert's Healthy Utah plan. Riley Curtis, appreciate your time today in helping us understand more about this Healthy Utah plan and when we might actually see some kind of action being taken. And we'll keep an eye on it. And we'll see you here on Monday for the community event. We'll have more for listeners on that as well.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right. Thank you again. Riley Curtis with Utah Health Policy Project. We'll be back right after this.
It's time to talk to Dennis Watkins at Watkins Printing. Dennis, you guys have a great facility here in Logan, but if folks want to look at things online that you can do, is there a way to do that?
Yes, we have a great website. It's printwatkins.com. And on our website, we have a number of printed items you can order from. We have wedding invitations, baby announcements, envelopes, business cards, and lots of designs already prepared. You just need to fill in your information. So you can order online or come into the print shop.
And the print shop is located at 110 West, 1200 South in Logan, about a block west of Macy's.
Many folks believe investing is all about money, buying versus selling, spending versus saving. And while that holds some truth, at Edward Jones, we believe it's just as much about time. How long you work toward your retirement goals can be just as important as how much you save. Edward Jones Financial Advisors can help. Stop by any of the 5 Edward Jones offices in Cache Valley. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Welcome back to KVNU's For the People. That is it for hour one of today's show. Thanks again to Riley Curtis of the Utah Health Policy Project for laying it out there. Again, the Healthy Utah plan, we'll see where this goes. I hope they pass it, but I'm suspicious. This legislature, they don't like anything the president does. So we'll see where this one goes. Broadband access next on KVNU's For the People.
News at the top and bottom of the hour.
Thank you very much.
KVNU, Logan, 610 AM and 102.1 FM, 75 years.